How do you discover your identity? I mean, we live in a society, we live in a world that, let's be honest, can be pretty obsessed with finding yourself, discovering your identity. Who are you really? Who are you meant to be? And so sometimes we're told that identity can only be found from within yourself. So the American philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson, is a great name, says this. He says, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. But then again, sometimes we're told that our identity is all about the choices you make in life. So the Swiss psychologist Carl Jung says, I'm not what happened to me, I'm what I choose to become. But then again, sometimes we're told that our identity is bound up all in what's around us, our relationships, our community, our world around us. So the English poet John Donne says, no man is an island entire of itself. We're affected by everything around us. Sometimes, though, we're told differently, again, that our identity is actually all bound up in our work and in what we achieve and what we make of ourselves. So the playwright George Bernard Shaw says, life is not about finding yourself, life is about creating yourself. So we're told many different ideas of how you discover, how you find your identity. You can look within, you can look around, you can just decide for yourself. Your identity can be, maybe it's what you do. And so we can end up, and the world does, we end up identifying ourselves in so many different ways, don't we? Our family background, our career, our personality, our age, our ethnic background, our religion, our sexuality, our skills, our achievements, even our failures. And I think it means identity gets messy and confusing. So often we're left wondering if our identity actually will be a place of happiness. Will our identity, when we realize what it is, will it bring purpose? Will it bring me self-worth? Is our identity, is it about fitting in or is it about standing out? But you know what? God's word is clear about this over and over again. If we truly want to know our identity, it doesn't come from within. It doesn't come from human relationships or the world around us. It does not come from our work or our achievements. Our identity doesn't even come from our own choices, really. No, first and foremost, our identity comes from God. I hope you've seen that even as we've gone through Genesis over the past term. That first and foremost, your identity, you are made in the image of God. And therefore, your identity is from Him and for Him. But it goes even deeper than that, because not only do we read in Genesis that we're made in the image of God, but as we read on to the New Testament, we discover that we are also remade in God's image. We're made His new creation in Jesus Christ. And that's where we find our identity. Or more correctly, that's who we find our identity in. So ultimately, the identity that matters, therefore, is not my identity, it's Jesus' identity. It is Jesus' identity that informs, that creates, that gives us identity. You know, God's word is actually very clear about your identity if it's not with Jesus. Now, this might hit like a ton of bricks, but look at how we are depicted if Christ is not the guiding identity of our lives. Romans 3:12 says this about people who don't have Jesus. It says, all have turned away, they have together become worthless. That hits like a ton of bricks, doesn't it? But Ephesians 2, verse 1 says similar. We looked at this in youth group the other night. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's the picture of us, our identity before Jesus. So for the next few months, we're going to dig into the question of what it means, what it looks like to therefore be a disciple of Jesus, to have that identity, an identity that is about Him. And I do think, I will say that some of it will be a massive challenge. Jesus makes a massive claim on your life. I mean, next week we begin with these words from Jesus that follows on from today's passage. Jesus says this, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. That's not a light call on your life, is it? It's huge. Our identity as Jesus' disciples is radical and totally life-changing. Our identities that actually say, this life I live is actually not my own. We read that in Galatians 2:20. It says it like this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So if that's the picture of a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, where our identity is all about Christ, then we have to begin, don't we, by making sure we understand his identity. Because if we get his identity wrong, we're going to form the wrong identity of ourselves as we live in him, through him, for him. Only by knowing his identity can we even know and grow in the identity that he wonderfully gives us as his new creation. So today is the simple question that we must start with is this, is, well, do you know Jesus? His identity. And I know that might seem like a very simple question, particularly to people here who've been Christians for decades. But do you truly know Jesus? Do you follow the real Jesus? Or have you in one way or another designed for yourself a different version of Jesus? Maybe one that's more palatable for yourself, more convenient for yourself, or for the world around you. So who is Jesus? It's a question we see here in Matthew 16 that Pete read out earlier. Jesus asks this of his disciples. He first asks them, well, who do other people say I am? Verse 13 and 14. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So when Jesus asked them, who do people say the Son of Man is, he's referring to himself. He's the Son of Man. It's a term Jesus has already used several times in Matthew's Gospel to refer to himself. And his disciples, they give him some examples of what other people are saying and thinking about Jesus' identity. And in reality, these examples, they're pretty good compliments, aren't they? They're good people to be thought to be. So some say, oh, Jesus, this is John the Baptist. Now, we've got to remember this is after John the Baptist has lost his head, after he's been put to death. So what they're saying is some thought that this was John the Baptist back from the dead. That's who Jesus was. And others thought he was Elijah or Jeremiah or another prophet. So some thought because, if you read in the Old Testament, because Elijah had never died and he'd been whisked away by God to heaven, that Jesus was now Elijah returned. Or maybe he was Jeremiah, or maybe he was one of the other prophets. So to be thought of as one of these prophets, really a huge honor in Jewish society, Jewish religion. This was in no way a demeaning title that people were giving Jesus. But was it right? It's the same today. Many people believe that the historical Jesus was a great moral teacher or a great spiritual leader. Muslims believe Jesus was a special prophet sent from God, someone who performed miracles and taught many great things. Many Hindus believe Jesus was a holy man or some type of guru. About half of all Australians believe Jesus was a historical person. But even for those who believe he was a historical person, only about a quarter of them think he was God. Most who believe he was a real historical figure only goes as far to say he was, oh yeah, he was a good moral teacher. But it's not what the Bible says, is it? Indeed, it's not what Jesus himself says. C.S. Lewis puts it like this. He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. He, Jesus, has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So as much as people want to diminish who Jesus is, Even Jesus himself won't let that fly. And we see that next here in Matthew 16, when Jesus now moves from what other people say about him to what his disciples with him think about his identity. Verse 15 to 17, they say, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." So Simon Peter is known, we know Simon Peter, right? He's known for often putting his foot in his mouth. And if you read just a few verses on, it happens straight away. But here, Simon Peter hits the nail on the head. Here, Peter proclaims the truth about Jesus' identity. Jesus is the Messiah, he says. Jesus is the Son of God. Here we see Jesus' identity described in its clearest and most amazing terms. So he says Jesus is the Messiah. It's the Hebrew word for anointed one, for this promised king. The Greek alternative that we often use, and it's not his surname, is Christ. Here Peter says that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised king. So the promised one who was promised to bring salvation. So Peter here is not proclaiming Jesus just another king. No, he's the Messiah. He is the king. So the Messiah was the one promised in Genesis who would crush the serpent's head. The Messiah was the one who descended from Abraham would be a blessing to all the nations. The Messiah was the one who descended from King David would be the eternal king, establishing God's eternal kingdom. We read all through the Old Testament, lots and lots of things about the Messiah. The Messiah promised to be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, one who was anointed by God's Spirit, a light to the nation, a shepherd of God's people. The list goes on and on. The one who Isaiah spoke of as the suffering servant who would be despised and rejected, who would bear our sin, who would be pierced for our transgressions, who would be put to death for the atonement of sin. And we go on, and the Old Testament goes more and more about what this Messiah would look like. The one who would come triumphantly riding on a donkey. The one who would be the rejected cornerstone, the sacrificial lamb. Even the one who would die, but God would not let his Holy One see decay. So he would rise and have dominion and glory and a kingdom that should never end. So it's no small claim when Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, as the one anointed eternal Savior and King. But along with this, Peter claims Jesus is the Son of the living God. So here Simon Peter identifies Jesus not just as the promised human King, but as divine. Jesus is the Son of God. And we see Jesus here, he agrees, doesn't he? Jesus does not stop Simon Peter here in this huge claim that he makes. Now, what does Jesus do? He blesses Simon Peter. He affirms this identity to be true. How? Well, he tells Simon Peter, he says, "This where you could have possibly got this idea from." How did Peter know this to be true? How did Peter know Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God? Well, Jesus says, "It's not just a matter of human reasoning, Peter, that made you know this." He says, "No, my Father in heaven has revealed it to you." This is the true identity of Jesus because it comes not from human wisdom, not from flesh and blood, but from the God of all. We see it there in verse 17. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." He's saying this is true because it comes from God. So Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, and Jesus is divine. He's the Son of God. But I think we have to ask ourselves, well, why does this identity matter? It's an amazing identity, but why does it matter? I mean, does it really matter if I don't get this right? Does it matter if I decide that Jesus was just a good moral teacher or a prophet? What's the problem here if my perception of Jesus isn't the same as Simon Peter? Well, Jesus makes it very clear as we read on. He's saying here his identity is actually all that matters. He's saying it's actually central, it's key. Get it wrong and everything else is going to fall apart. Take a look at the next few verses, verse 16 to 19. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Alrighty, we need to read this carefully, or we get the pronouns mixed up. So please, right now, just take a look at the screen, take a look at your Bible, and try and follow it with me. Peter identifies, we've done this already, Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus then replies to him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, this..." So when he says, "For this was not revealed to you," what's this? This is Jesus' identity as the Messiah and Son of God. That's been revealed to you. This identity has been revealed to you, this truth. But then Jesus now turns to Simon Peter and says, what does he say? Verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, this is where the English gets confusing. Remember, what does Peter mean in Greek? Anyone know? Rock. Okay. So there's actually some wordplay going on here. Stick with me here. So I'll put it below. So Jesus says, I tell you that you are Petros, Peter, and on this Petra, it's a different word, slightly different word, I will build my church. So Jesus says, I will tell you that you are Petros, and on this Petra, I will build my church. It's wordplay. Peter, so Petros, the word Petros, it's just a normal small rock. It's a loose stone. But Petra is not a loose stone. Petra is a large rock. It's a bedrock. It's a solid rock. It's an immovable rock. It's a foundation rock. So what's the Petra? What's this bedrock that the church will be built on, that God's people will be built on? Is it Peter? Petros? No, that's not what he's saying. And that's been an argument. That's been an argument particularly of Roman Catholicism for many, many years, that this is saying that Peter is the foundation of the church, that he's therefore the first pope or something like that. But if that was the case, then I think this verse would say something more like, I tell you that you are rock, Peter, and on you I will build this church. So you are Petros, and on Petros I will build this church. But it doesn't say that. It says, on this Petra, not Petros, I'll build this church. So then the question still is, well, if it's not Peter, what is it? What is this rock that he's talking about? What's this Petra? Well, it's not Peter himself. No, this rock, this Petra, if we go back to the other this. This is where we match up the pronouns. What's Jesus been saying this is all along? This rock that he builds his church on is Peter's confession about Jesus, about his identity. The confession that Jesus just said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but from my Father in heaven. What is this? This, the rock that the church is built on, is the confession that Jesus is Messiah and the Son of the living God. So it's the faithful confession of Jesus' true identity that the church is built on here. It's the faithful confession of Jesus' identity that therefore the gates of Hades cannot overcome. And lots of scripture backs this up. God's people are not built on Peter. We don't find that anywhere else in scripture, do we? Peter, yes, Peter plays an important part in the building of the church, but Peter cannot stop people from being overcome by the gates of Hades, can he? By hell. But the truth, the identity he proclaims about Jesus can't it? Jesus, who he truly is, his identity, that's the bedrock. That's the Petra of the church. It's the everlasting, the unmoving foundation for my life, for my salvation as part of God's church, God's people. And that's the bedrock, the everlasting, unmoving foundation for your life as well, for your salvation if you are one of God's people putting your trust in that Petra. Jesus, our Messiah, our rescuing King. Jesus, the Son of God, the one in whom we can return to eternity in God's presence. It's a belief there. It's a trust in the true identity of Jesus that saves, isn't it? If Jesus is just for you a moral leader, then he doesn't save. If Jesus for you is just a prophet, then he doesn't save. If Jesus is just for you an ancient dude who wants everyone to love each other, that doesn't save, does it? But if Jesus is the promised Messiah, the King who came to offer salvation, if he's the Messiah who willingly went to the cross to pay for your sins, if Jesus is the Son of the living God who not only takes on our sin but then in divine power rises from the dead and can offer you eternal resurrection as well, that is an identity worth following, isn't it? Because it's an identity that changes lives, not just now, but into eternity. And indeed, as we read on, it's the very thing that we see Peter is now given authority here to use as the keys to the kingdom. Verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So now Jesus says to Peter, you know, this truth about me that you just confessed, my identity, the church is built on it. Hades will not overcome it. And because you know it and you believe it, you now, that's the keys to the kingdom. So he's saying to Peter, this truth, my identity, is the thing you need to proclaim with authority. Because this confession of my identity, this proclamation of who I am, it won't just change people's lives here on earth, but it will change their lives into eternity. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he's saying to Peter that proclaiming his identity, proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, so the one who offers us freedom from sin and death, that is what is going to bind and loose things for eternity. That is what is going to determine everyone's eternal destiny. So Peter here is given authority to now go out and declare the terms under which God gives entrance or exclusion from his kingdom. And it's all about whether people confess Jesus as their Messiah and God. It's not just an authority that Jesus gives Peter, though. We read on in just Matthew 18:18 that this verse is repeated for all disciples. I mean, Peter certainly plays a very special part in the beginning of God's church. He plays a special part in declaring Jesus to others. But we are all, as people, as disciples who follow Jesus, called to bear witness to the identity of Jesus, to confess it in our own lives, to proclaim it to others as the keys of the kingdom. But for today, before we even, you know, speak and look at in weeks to come of proclaiming Jesus' identity to others, we have to ask ourselves if, first of all, if we are truly disciples of this Jesus. Do we confess, like Peter, that he is our Messiah, our King, our God? And is his true identity the bedrock of our lives? Is it the bedrock of us together as his church? Because trusting in him, I hope you see here that trusting in him, if we're saying that he's our Messiah and we're saying he's the Son of God, that identity can't just be lip service, can it? If you truly believe he's the Messiah, if you truly believe he's the King who saved you, does your life reflect that? If you truly believe he's the Son of the living God, so the one who was and is to come, the one who created and sustained all things, does your life reflect that? And I'm not saying today, I don't want to go down the track today of, well, are you living a good life? Or are you being moral? I'm not even talking about obedience yet. No, I want to dig deeper than that. And the simple question to ask you is your Christianity, is it a relationship with your Messiah and God, or has it become something that's just a bit more rote or ritual or just a cultural thing? So friends, if you confess like Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, if you confess that he is the Son of God, then shouldn't that mean, if that's his true identity, shouldn't that mean that he must be the center? He must be the focus, the treasure, the pinnacle, the central demand on your life? Think about it. The Messiah, the King, the Son of God. If that's who Jesus is, he's not someone you ask to simply kind of join in my life a bit. The Messiah, the Son of God, is not someone who just comes along as a passenger. He cannot just be an accompaniment to your life. He cannot even just be a friend or a confidant. No, his identity demands to be the center of your identity. As we launch into this sermon series on what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, the danger is we can look at all of that. We can look at what it means to live for him, to learn from him, to live like him, to love like him, to lead others to him. We can look at all that, and we can even try to put it into practice. But the danger is it can become just another empty religious pursuit if it isn't consumed with this understanding of who Jesus is in my life, of the awesome glory of him, of the amazing beauty of him. You know, it's only when we realize his preciousness, his awesomeness, his radiance, it's only when we realize that him as the central treasure of our life, that's where true life is found. That's where true identity is found. When we confess that Jesus doesn't just give me life, no, Jesus is life. Do you believe that? That is when we will truly yearn to be his disciples. John Calvin says it like this. He says, until people are persuaded that in Christ they have everything, they will never yield themselves wholly to him. So, brothers and sisters, who do you say Jesus is? Does his wonderful, powerful, beautiful, loving identity demand center stage in your life? As your saving King, as your God over all, as your heart's desire. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, our Lord of all.